Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every morning, welcoming my 41,000-plus listeners to tune in here to Homebase Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, you know, we've been going through the works of the colleague and friend, the late, great George Sapir, and, you know, his books that he wrote. We did last week, Black Folks Guide to Making Big Money in America, and this week we've been doing Black Folks Guide to Business Success, and we're going to close out today with that book, and next week, Monday, we'll be getting into his book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. We covered yesterday why, you know, black businesses are important. You know, why today's black businesses are, you know, are essential and important, and you know, also why today black businesses are they the way they are. You know what is it that we need to focus on to really understand where to go with this whole concept of developing businesses in the African American community. And, you know, so I'm going to just hit a few points today, and I would advise you to, you know, go pick up the book. It's a great book. It's a great read. And, you know, George points out some great things of why business is important and why we need to focus on developing businesses in our community and what, you know, it enabled us to be able to do. You know, one of the definite things he talks about is being able to leave something for our children. And, you know, that's so important. And at the same time, being able to deal with our community and employ our own people, which is another good, important reason for developing businesses in the African American community. So we really, you know, want to look at the importance of all of these different things that George talks about in the book. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to cover a piece that he has called Summary, Why Black Businesses Are the Way They Are. Summary. He said, I could easily list other reasons to explain why our businesses are the way they are, but I think all the basic points are here. Therefore, I'll review them in order, but the points and perspective can be drawn together. Number one, black people are saturated with about a dozen attitudes which lead our people to have a definite anti-money, anti-wealth perspective. These attitudes evolve from and were nurtured by history, culture, institutions, and positions as victims in American society. In spite of this, however, we have a lot of pride and admiration for those rich black folks amongst us that society has designated as stars. We allow and condone behavior and values from these stars that we do not tolerate from other members in the community. These attitudes act as a strong deterrent from starting businesses for the purpose of making large amounts of money. And we're basically talking about is, you know, for some reason in our communities, and, you know, again, when I be sharing business opportunity with some people, we've, you know, gone a little bit further past there than in the past, but still I have people say, I ain't interested in making a whole lot of money. You know, I'm satisfied, you know, yet, you know, satisfied with what? So, you know, as he said, you know, there's this attitude, this anti-wealth attitude. A lot of times when I share with people, you know, my goal is to become, you know, at one time it was a millionaire, but now with the way the world is going, you know, a billionaire, you know. And when you use those type of terms, and sometimes in our community, it becomes a turnoff to people. Like, you just, all you about is money, and I'm about a whole lot more than money. But, you know, in order to do the things that we want to be able to do and leave a legacy, we got to have a wealth perspective. Number two, George says, in those instances where blacks do start their own businesses, the prime motivation is very often not money, but for reasons which strictly please the emotions or ego of the business owner. And in those instances, when there is the initial goal of starting a business for the purpose of making money, the owner almost inevitably settles for some very near what they were making as a salaried employee. You know, again, some people, when they start a business, you know, big bucks here. You know, as long as they make a little bit more than what they was making when they was on their job, they, you know, hey, I replaced my income on my job. I'm satisfied. And now often he says a lot of times black people, when they start businesses, not looking about making money but becoming somebody's boss. Number three, he said black businesses do not get the complete patronage of black people because blacks have, as a consumer, developed a set of standards and expectations which they have grown accustomed to and demand all businesses. Many black businesses have not grown as fast in catering to customers' wants as customers have moved to develop their wants. Many black business owners are still of the opinion that their business should be patronized for the primary reason that they are a black business. This is strongly divided in our community with ample justification on both sides. Yes, it's important, you know, that we do want people to support our business, but we want them to support our business because we give them quality service, not just because we're black. Says, another chief reason contributing to the continuing development of black business lies in the fact that counter to a historical trend of black leaders and thinkers serving the community, today black thinkers largely serve the interests of corporate America. This has been called the black brain drain and would be an even greater problem in our community if corporations opened their doors even further for the skilled and talented blacks, ready and extremely willing to take corporate positions. Yes, you know, the black brain drain. You know, I think about a family member who, after graduating from a prestigious law school, he worked for a firm for a little while to get his feet wet, and then ultimately started his own private practice. Well, by doing so, it ultimately led to him and his wife getting divorced because the wife felt that he would be better off working for this prestigious firm than running his own law practice. And he runs a very successful law practice today. You know, I have clients in China because, you know, he can engage with me anytime, let me know when he's out the country, and has clients in, on the continent of Africa, I mean. And has done very well for himself running his own law firm. But his wife's view was the firm that he could work for, the white firm that he could work for, would be more prestigious and long-lasting in terms of just being there. So, again, the brain drain. You know, a lot of times we have people in our community who have the brains, the know-how, but go give it all up to corporate America. And then sometimes I understand why. It causes rifts in people's families. So in this case, it's it ultimately led to him and his wife becoming divorced and not being together today because he chose to keep his brains in his own business as opposed to taking it to corporate America. The black brain drain is a very, very serious issue when it comes to business in our community. Number five, he says, is that today's black businesses are being run by older mom-and-pop operators and young people largely using the trial-error method from whom emerged many of our moderately successful businesses. There are a few black businesses being run by former corporate employees whose drive to set up their own shop is stronger than those of the associates that he or she left behind in the corporate world. These black business people are part of the wave of the future, and though they operate some of the most sophisticated black-owned businesses, they are still rather few in number. He says some people have decided to leave corporate America and to build their own, but, you know, again, there's few in number. It has grown some since he wrote this book back in the 80s, and, you know, we're seeing more and more people because of corporate downsides and being forced to develop their own. Number six, he says, inside the major white corporation, one finds two basic types of black employees. The first type of employee is the one who started out with the intention to eventually leave the corporate world at some time in the future to establish a black enterprise. However, due to personal debts, commitments, responsibilities, and advice that this employee obtains over time, they elect to stay in the job situation. Some change to the degree that they become like junkies, unable to imagine how they could exist outside of the corporation and all of its goodies. The second type of black employee is the one which has never lost sight of their desire and need to start their own enterprise. Unfortunately, this person overcomes all the usual expected problems and hassles of starting business. They may find that their biggest obstacle is to convince a spouse. I already just shared with you, you know, about a family member. A spouse who has a host of reasons, you know, and host of reasons may why a problem with their partner having their own business. Some spouses are pushing to the corner where they're just about forced to choose between their business aspirations and their spouse, and they make the decision according to the strength of their conviction. Again, as I told you about the family member, you know, who they made the choice. Some people won't do that. Some people say, well, you know, all right, I'll stay there for you. But you can see how deep this is, and it's because this dependency of through slavery and racism, this tendency to feel as though, as my grandmother used to always say, that the white man's ice is colder. And I remember when I first went into business, my grandmother sent me down, who basically had no formal education, but had mother with street education, you know, ran her own business. You know, she sold suppers, Emma Suppers. And she told me, she said, if you can get by one thing, I said, what's that, Grandma? She said, if you can get by the fact that for some reason, if a black man is selling ice and a white man is selling ice, unfortunately, due to the way our people think, they think that the white man's ice is colder and that it takes longer to melt and that the black man's ice is going to melt faster. She said, just remember, ice is ice. And, you know, we have a lot of people still have that concept. Number seven, George says, all the conditions listed here account for a significant amount of the underdevelopment of black businesses, but even worse, there are no significant clues that substantiate changes are in the process of happening, which gives the indication that most black businesses will remain the way they are. And, you know, we're seeing some change since the time he wrote this. We're seeing, you know, people developing, you know, more sophisticated businesses, and with the power of the Internet, you know, you can develop a faceless, colorless business. So, you know, I love, you know, Internet sales and development. One of the other things that George talks about in his book is making the transition from employee to business owner. That's a big, you know, I mean, I go through that a lot with people in business that I'm in as far as network marketing, and getting people to make that transition from being a W-2 employee to a business owner. Business owners make different kind of decisions than employees. You know, I tell people, you know, hey, they, you know, there ain't no sick leave over here. You know, I don't work today, and I don't have anything that I didn't put in. Now, once you get to the point where you have residual income, then, you know, then it doesn't matter if I work every day. But initially starting, you know, you got to put a lot of time. Or young people say this in, you know, the illegal businesses out there, because I do gang prevention work for those who didn't know it, or those that don't. And one of the things that young people talk about, when, you know, in that world, is you got to do the work. If you don't do the work, you don't get paid. And so it's the same with building your business. You got to do the work. And you do the work, you get paid. And you can build something that will take care of you long after doing the initial work. Residual income is what you want to be looking for. So he says, you know, it's very important to make that transition from employee to business owner. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people go through in terms of dealing with that. And then in the book, George lists, you know, some different kind of, at that time, different kind of businesses that people could look at. It's interesting that he had one in here, travel agents. And, you know, this is very interesting that he listed that, you know, it's a business that I'm currently involved in. you know, and it's wow, you know, great business in terms of being involved and dealing with that, you know. And so, you know, you want to pick up this book by George, Black Folks' Guide to Business Success. And like I said, in the last part of the book, he lists what he felt was futuristic businesses that people could get involved in and get started with. And that's going to wrap up our series on this book, Black Folks' Guide to Business Success. And join us tomorrow, Saturday, if we do our regular Saturday show. Your opportunity is YTB. And you can still get a tax write-off, a tax saving by getting involved in this business before the year out. That's one of the other things that George talked about in his book. Becoming a business owner so you can learn how to take advantage of tax breaks. How to use the tax system, you know, to help you, because there's two tax systems here in this country. And I know most people always say, yeah, one for the rich and one for the poor. No, one for employees and one for business owners. So you want to look at how to become a business owner so you can take advantage of tax breaks that are due to and that are entitled to business owners. So, you know, hey, tune in tomorrow and learn why it's not too late to get involved in a home-based business and get you some tremendous tax write-offs. And that goes for everybody, black and white, Asian, Latino, everybody. You know, we have an opportunity for everybody. All right. Hey, God willing and the creek don't rise, I will be back here on these airways again tomorrow morning with Your Opportunity is YTB. And then Monday we'll be back with closing out our series on George Shapiro next week on his book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. We want to thank the 41,000-plus listeners for tuning in. And we just, hey, have a blessed and wonderful weekend. And, hey, we just love you. And thank you for supporting the show. Take care. Peace. Tutana.